from, again, the book of John, chapter 13. I will be reading from my own Bible, but there are Bibles under the chairs in front of you if you would like to read along. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." End of the word.
Yes, you heard the scripture reading. You know what's coming. Do I have any volunteers? I have come this morning to wash your feet. See the towel? Eric, you're ruining my whole... I'm counting on the fact that you're too embarrassed to come forward, because I really didn't want to do this. I'll get rid of the coat. Imagine sitting here, coming up, sitting down, and me bowing in front of you, taking out my rag, washing your stinky feet. You know, my father had this thing when we were younger. As he tucked us in for bed, he would always look to see if my feet were clean. And I remember more than one time my father saying, "Get up, go wash your feet." I would have loved for my father to wash my feet for me, but he never made that offer. It was always a reprimand. "Get in there and wash your feet. You don't go to bed with dirty feet. Your mother works hard to keep these sheets clean." It's a little bit embarrassing, though, isn't it, for us? Imagine yourself, there are some churches that actually do a foot washing ceremony. And I don't know if it's more embarrassing for the person getting their feet washed or the person that has to humble themselves and handle the stinky feet. Which one would you prefer to be? The washer. Yeah, it's a, you know, I don't want anyone to smell my feet, you know? And they don't, my feet are not very attractive to begin with. But then, you know, who knows? I'm going to get nervous. We won't go there. That's what this message is about today. Jesus has one last parting shot with his disciples. We're in the upper room. We're on the brink of going into Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Jesus himself is the Passover lamb, who knows, according to the schedule of time, that he's about to be offered up as the sacrifice. His body would be broken, his blood would be spilt, and he would be the sacrifice that would wash away all of our uncleanness. And so he's got one last opportunity with his disciples to emphasize, to highlight the message that he wants them to carry away. What does he focus on? I could think of a host of other things to talk about. The strategies for evangelism after I'm gone. The methods that I'd like you to incorporate. This is how I want the church. This is the vision I have for the church. After supper, Jesus got up and he took off his outer garment. He girded himself up and he looked like a common servant. And now I can just imagine the disciples at this point, like, what's going on? This is awkward. He takes up the towel and he puts it in his waistcoat. It's like, what are you doing, Jesus? You see, it was sort of customary for the host, when people came in to eat at their table, to give them a basin of water and a towel to wash their own feet. And occasionally, if a dignitary was there, the household servant might bend down and wash the dignitaries, the person of honor's feet. But for the host to do that, that just really wasn't very common. So now here's Jesus, the Lord, the one who had been with them for 3 years. He bows down before and he starts to go around the table. And they're reclining at this table and he's starting to take their feet and gently bathe them in the water. Can imagine how, if you feel uncomfortable having people wash your feet, having the Son of God, whom they had embraced as Messiah, the Lord of all, bending before them, this just did not make sense. Finally, he came to Peter. You know Peter, he always speaks what's on his mind. Very little goes into Peter that doesn't come out through his lips. It was kind of uncensored. He just, boom, impulsive. He spoke what was on his mind. That got him into trouble at times, rebuking Jesus. No, Lord, you won't wash my feet. No. That's not the way we do things in this system. You see, you're Lord. I mean, this is what he's saying in essence. Do you realize who you are and who I am? I'm the fisherman you pulled off the Sea of Galilee, remember? I don't even know how to write my name, basically. And you're the Lord of the universe. I have come to embrace you as the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world to save us from our sins. And you just don't do these things, Jesus, in our system here. What does Jesus say to Peter? Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you won't have any part in my kingdom. You have nothing to do with me. Oh, is that the deal? Shift in Peter's thinking. So that's what this means? That if you wash your feet, it symbolizes the fact that I'm all in? That you're my Lord, that I'm with you, that you belong to me and I belong to you. Well, if that's the deal, then wash my feet, wash my head, wash my hands, wash everything, Lord, because I'm all in. To which Jesus replies, Peter, that's not necessary. For people who wash regularly, the only thing that you really need to do when you go to supper is to wash the dust off your feet. All of you are already clean. They must have all had pretty good hygiene. Jesus could have told, being that close with them for 3 years. Bunch of men. I can imagine. But not all of you is clean, Jesus said. What was that? Not all of us is clean. Now Jesus is making a shift. At first he was talking about physical cleanliness. Now there's sort of this symbolic, metaphorical thing going on here. You mean not one of us is not using very good hygiene? No, that's not what Jesus is referring to here. We know what he was referring to. That the 11 out of 12 had embraced Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They had committed their lives to him. They were all out following him. They believed that he was the one who God sent into the world to save sinners. And they had placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And they were willing to die with him. But there was one to whom Jesus could see very clearly, as he can with all of us. He looks into our hearts. The Word of God divides the heart, examines the heart, reveals the heart. Jesus does that himself. He knows what's in our heart. And he knew that there was one who had not embraced him. One who had been in this thing, this discipleship mode, for another reason. Thought there were things that he could get from it. Maybe some recognition. Maybe an opportunity to lead. Maybe some financial benefits from the ministry. Jesus could see through it. He said, not all of you is clean. And we know who that one was. So Jesus washes their feet. And Judas is the one to whom Jesus refers. Now, Jesus takes the opportunity to make a teachable moment. After he washes their feet, he puts his garments back on, and he resumes taking his place at the table. And he says, do you know what I've just done to you? Well, yeah, I mean, on the surface, it's obvious what you just did to us. You washed our feet. But what he's really saying is, do you understand the significance of what I'm doing here? No, tell us. If I, your teacher and your Lord, whom you refer to, and you're right, I am, if I do this to you, this is how I want you to treat one another. I want you to bow as a servant before one another and be willing to wash each other's feet. Okay, I'll just carry one of these babies around with me. You know, this is going to be part of my attire. And every time I see a brother or sister, I'm going to just say, hey, sit down. Time to wash your feet. It's not exactly what Jesus is saying, is it? If we took it literally, that would be it. And there are churches that practice foot washing ceremonies as one of the things they do. But that's not what Jesus meant. Literally, he was speaking of a metaphorical kind of service. I want you to take on the mind and the heart of a servant. I want you to be like me. This is how you imitate me. This is going to be the very different mark of a follower of Christ. Because yes, Peter, the world system is that you don't bow to anybody. In fact, you like to be served. You go to the restaurant and you tip accordingly, right, to your service. I went to McDonald's yesterday and I heard the manager who was doing the cashier, he said, remember, he was speaking to one of the ladies in the back, the customer is the one we're serving. Make sure that we give them respect. Nice, I like this place. Maybe I'll come here more. This makes me feel important. We like to feel important. We like to be on top. We like to be treated well. We go to the service station to have things taken care of. We go to the grocery store and we love it when someone bags our groceries. Life is like that. In fact, we can often feel very entitled to certain privileges, and we like to be members that are treated well, don't we? That's human nature. Jesus said, I'm going to turn that on its head. I want you as believers, followers of me, to imitate me in this sense that I want you to take on the mind of a servant. And I want you to serve others. Now, there's a passage in Scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote under the influence of the Holy Spirit in Philippians chapter 2. And I'd like to just read you these words. To Jesus, he says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself." That's what humility is. It's the absence of self. It's like this void. You just remove yourself from the equation. And of course, a void has to be filled with something. So it's filled with what, Tim? It's filled with Christ. He's at the center. And then Christ says to me, "If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep." Do you remember last week we talked about Mary bowing at the feet of Jesus and washing his feet with her hair, anointing him with expensive perfume? She was worshiping the Savior. Now, just a few days later, Jesus is bowing at the feet of his disciples and he's saying, "This is what grows out of worship to me. If you love me, like Mary did, now you'll love and serve each other. That's the demonstration of your true love for God. Don't stand around and tell God you love him if you do not show it in very practical, heartfelt ways. If people don't feel the love, don't tell God you love him. Show it. That's what it's about. As believers in Jesus Christ. And it's not just the people who are lovely, the people that will reciprocate. You know, I don't set myself up for, you know, someone to do to me what I've done to them. It's to give unconditionally. Whether, first of all, it's to the brother in Christ, as it was to the disciples, and then it's to those outside the family of God. In the same sacrificial way as the Good Samaritan who walks along the road and sees someone in need. And he gives of himself sacrificially with time and money at risk to his own safety. That's how we're to give. That is what means to follow Christ. Right? So I ask myself, Doug, how do I do this? Well, sometimes it's doing the dishes or taking out the trash without being asked. Sometimes it's looking for someone who's hurting. Sometimes it's listening to somebody complain and thinking they're expressing a concern in their life right now. It might not be packaged the way I'd like it to hear it, but it is a concern. Now, how can I enter in? This is what I need to do, practically speaking. I need to listen very carefully. I need to refrain from getting myself into the mix and say, "Well, yeah, that happened to me once. Buck up, baby. You know, we all have hardship. It takes various forms. Doesn't matter how much you make or how little you make, you're going to have hardship." You've heard it. You've said it, right? And it just dismisses the person. And they think, they shut down. It's like, get back in your place. Accept your lot. And just move on and suffer silently. Listen to what people have to say. and identify with him. Remember Jesus at the tomb with Mary? He knew what he was going to do with Lazarus. He knew that in a couple minutes he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But that wasn't what he did in the moment with Mary. What did he do with Mary? He wept. He felt her pain. He wept. And people said, oh, how he loves her. How he must have loved Lazarus. Enter into the pain and into the joys. Because sometimes we hear people say, oh, the Lord bless me. You know, he just really taken care of my family. And we're thinking, must be nice. You know, what did I do wrong? When is it going to come to me? You know, is that love? No, I'm still in the mix. It's taking yourself out. Humility is the absence of self. You remove yourself and you say, praise God. God did that for you. Tell me more. You enjoyed that cruise? Whoa, go. You know, was it refreshing? Did you get sick? Oh, you spent all that money for nothing. Oh, right? No, it's rejoicing with those who rejoice and it's weeping with those who weep. Listen to what people are saying. Enter into their world. Take time out of your busy schedule and connect with people. That's what we're called to as disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes us markedly different from the rest of the world. You know, when you get something on your finger, you hit it on everything. Pain is terrible. So, that's what God has called us to do, is to enter into each other's lives. That is taking on the mind of Christ. He says, don't just look out for your own interests. That's mere existence. That's like what animals do instinctually. They try to survive. No, you're called to a much higher calling. You are kingdom citizens. You are children of Christ. You are imitators of God. You love unconditionally and sacrificially to the end. Regardless of what's going on in your life, step away from it. And love others. And you will be blessed. That's about all I have to say. Are we going to be servants? It's a decision we make every day, every moment. Or are we going to continue to bring ourselves into the mix and say, what's in this for me? Will I get honor? Will this advance my personal cause? What's in this for me? Or are we going to say, nope, this is about Christ. This is about his kingdom. I am called to serve. In Jesus' economy, going low is going high. That's where greatness is in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. All that matters is that you please the one who has called you and that you follow his example to go low every time. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the example of our Savior Jesus Christ, who left the glory of your kingdom and came to earth and took on the form of one of us and became a servant and humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. We thank you for his obedience. We thank you for the fact that he pleased you in all things and that he leaves for us that one last point to become like him, to love as he loved and to serve as he served. Help us, Lord, to be very conscious and aware of the opportunities that come to us every day to be like our Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in his presence blamelessly, with great joy, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to Him be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.